Good morning, everyone. All right, did you come to church ready to worship? Would you stand with us as we begin worshiping our Savior? Because He is good all the time.
Just right in our life, is the Lord still good? What happens if we ain't got the money to pay our bills? Is the Lord still good? Come on now. The Lord is good, and His mercies endure forever. Anybody ever had the Lord give you mercy and grace and a little bit of love that maybe you didn't deserve? Well, let's just go to the Lord this morning and let's just give Him just the praise. And so, Lord, we praise You today as we meet in this service this morning. Lord, for Your grace and for Your mercy and for Your unconditional love. Lord, we thank You that You are good, whether things are going perfect in our life or whether things are all messed up. Lord, You're still good. You are the goodness in our life. And Lord, we pray that today Your presence would be in this service. We pray, Lord, that we could feel Your goodness in everything that's happening here today. Lord, may we feel Your goodness in the midst of worship. May we feel Your goodness in the midst of the message. May we feel Your goodness at an altar today. Lord, we pray right now that everything that happens in this service today would honor how good You really are. Lord, we thank you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. High five somebody. You can be seated for just a minute. All right, good. Way to go. Way to high five somebody. Pastor high fived a few people. Good job, Pastor. Awesome. Awesome. It's good to see you. I've seen some faces I haven't seen in a while. And good to be worshiping with you this morning. And if you're viewing online, good to have you online this morning. Thanks for coming and joining with us. If you're a visitor this morning, we want to say welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so glad to have you here. And we'd ask that you would do one thing for us. In the seat back in front of you is a card. It says, "We're glad you're here" on it. And if you would fill that out for us, and then you could put it in the offering bag that we'll pass in a little bit. That would help us to have a record of your attendance. Just lets us know you came to visit with us. And it's a way for us to be able to say hi back to you. And so thank you for coming to visit today. If you're visiting, just fill one of these out. That'll be perfect. Perfect, perfect. We have a few announcements this morning. First of all, Pastor's going to be speaking this morning and challenging us. And then this evening, Pastor Chad, our children's pastor, will be in service here, and he'll be challenging us with a message. And then next Sunday morning, we have Michael Kopic, who is a church planter. He's going to be planting a church in Seattle, Washington, and he's going to come share the vision of that church plant with us. And how many of you love to see churches planted? Amen? Amen? They have some, you know, sometimes you get, how many of you know there's a little bit of politics sometimes in church, you know? Sometimes you get people go, "Well, we already have a church here." And, "Well, why do we need another church across the street?" And I'd say, listen, nobody's complaining when they put another Chick-fil-A in, right? No one's complaining about that. I'm not complaining about another house of worship that's going to present the gospel to a world who desperately needs it. Amen? Amen. So we're going to celebrate and encourage Michael and his wife Candace as they come and share the vision for the church there. We're almost to the end of the 21-day fast. And come on now. Come on. I told my wife, I said, "I think this may break me of my love of Mexican food." And she says, "No, it's not going to." But I just don't want to eat any more rice and beans. I've been doing the Daniel fast, and it's just, I've had enough. I've had enough bananas and fruit. And what I really need, no, let me rephrase that. What I really want is a giant cupcake. And so, yes. And so, my boys, Elliot and Braylon and my wife, Kelly and I have been doing the Daniel fast. And my boys and I have been talking, and the day that the fast is over, Pastor, we're having an event, first annual steaks and cake. So we're having steak and we're having cake. So just in case you were wondering what the Freemans will be eating on Saturday. But I want to encourage you to continue on your fast. If you haven't been fasting, maybe say, "Hey, I didn't catch into the groove, or I missed it, or I just did, you know, some things have happened," or whatever. We still got the next few days here, and you can join in with us. We'd love for you to fast the next 3 or 4 days, fast breakfast or lunch or dinner, fast social media, fast, you know, whatever you want to, the Lord leads you to, and take that time and spend the time with the Lord, and I believe the Lord's going to honor us for it. And so thank you to those of you who have been fasting and whatever you've been setting aside in obedience to worshiping the Lord. We say thank you for doing that. Thank you for participating with us, and I know the Lord's going to reward you for that. Connect Groups comes in February. I want to really quick say, how many of you saw the insert in here? We're going to try to do something really special for Sister Boykin. Her birthday is February 1st, her 94th birthday. And so we have put on there Sister Boykin's address. And what we're asking you to do is between now and then to go get a birthday card and send her birthday wishes. She's not able to be here with us as much as she'd like to. And Phyllis thought this might raise her spirits up a little bit. Plus, I think she's a wonderful lady, and I think it would be wonderful to honor her by wishing her a happy birthday. So if you can, grab a birthday card. Just say, "Hey, happy birthday, Sister Boykin. We love you." And send that on to her, and that will be awesome. Youth department's got lots of great things. You can look at it on the table out there. We've got a whole information sheet of things happening, including in 8 weeks. 8 weeks from today, our group will leave from Mission Arlington for our annual spring break missions trip. That's coming up. And I want to celebrate really quick. How many of you guys like to celebrate? I want to celebrate, in case you don't know, we are doing our Speed the Light banquet this Wednesday, and we're celebrating, as we set our goal for this next year, we're celebrating that we gave over $4,000 to missions as a youth group. So can we give a hand to the Lord for that? Amen. 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 Super excited about that. This is the most we've given since I've been here, and we're going to be honoring the top 10 givers. Our district youth director will be here speaking. We're going to serve a meal that I won't be able to eat. I'm not bitter about it. I'm just saying I won't be able to eat it, and the Lord knows. Steaks and cake is coming. And so, but want to celebrate. If you see with some of our youth, you know, make sure and tell them, say, hey, way to go on that missions giving. How many of you know that youth that give to mission become adults that give to missions? Amen? Amen. Amen. Speaking of giving, I'm going to ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. 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 Man, I don't know about you, but I am super blessed. And I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do in 2021. I'm excited to see how he works in and through his people as we're obedient to listen to him. Man, isn't that the key? Listening? Listening? Amen. He's always speaking. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for just the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you for all that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that you are continuing to multiply what we give in tithe and offering. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to continue to multiply what we give, even to missions. And Lord, people are going to come to know you, and their lives are going to be changed. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Once the offering bag passes, if you'll stand, we're going back into worship. Thank you.
our hearts wide open and expecting you to just flow in this place. Father, because there are times we feel desperate for a move of you, and God, I stand here. I'm so ready for a move of you. For a move of you in our church. And we just stand here worshiping you, praising you.
Stay here forever singing, oh, the Lord. Praise God. Join me in praying this morning. As I pray, we've got a list of names of people that need prayer this morning. Certainly, we want to pray for our country and pray for God's blessing upon the church, upon our lives, upon the service. So, Father, we come to you, Lord, today as a church body, and we're so thankful that we know that your eye is upon the righteous and your ear is attentive to our prayer. And so, Father, this morning we know that you hear us when we pray, and we ask that you would just touch and meet the needs in these lives. Lord, we continue to pray for Shelley Tyler. Lord, we lift her up to you. I pray that you would just heal her body this morning. Let her be back with us, we pray, God. Just touch her. Father, we pray for Bill Burrows. Lord, we miss him today. We're thankful that he's getting out of the hospital tomorrow. I pray that you continue to touch him. Father, we pray for the Alphen family as we will be having their funeral this coming Saturday. We pray that you would give comfort and peace to this family as they bury both mom and dad in a double funeral. Lord, we continue to lift up Rosemary Smith. We pray that you would touch Rosemary today and that you continue to help her to get well from the stroke. We pray for the Paula Dodson family. Both of her daughters and her husband both need a touch in their bodies this morning. We pray for David Winkler, a member of our community, Lord, who's had the virus and been in the hospital. We just pray for David this morning. I pray that you would just raise him up and touch him. We pray for Marilyn Latham as she continues to recover from back surgery. Still having problems, Lord, touch her today. We pray for Mark Fitzgerald, one of our missionaries who has been so very, very sick with COVID. Lord, raise Mark up. Touch him, we pray. We pray for Shirley Grindstaff, who's not feeling well today. Touch her. We pray for Gil Archer, Lord, that you would touch him and minister to him. We pray for Robin Boggs, who's not feeling well today. Touch her, Lord. We pray for my father, who's not feeling well. I pray that you would touch Dad today. Lord, we pray for Mahala's daughter, Patricia. We pray that you would be with her as she goes back to the doctor after getting somewhat of a negative report. I just pray that you would turn that to a positive report and that you would heal her body. And Father, we do pray for our country. We pray for healing in our land. We pray, God, that you would just bring revival, bring awakening, bring restoration to this great a country we call the United States of America. We pray, Father God, for the world. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Father God, that your will be done in our lives and in this church and in the church worldwide. We pray for a great visitation of your Holy Spirit to move in a mighty way that we might be the people you've called us to be, the light, the salt in this earth. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for being here today. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Isaiah, chapter 6. While you're turning, I just want to mention that tomorrow afternoon, Doug Madewell and I are going to meet down at the corner. We're going to take down the live nativity stable and put it in storage. We could use a couple of men that could help us. Two guys would be pretty tough on getting it done. But if you could help us, if you could see me, text me or something and tell me or call me, we could need about four guys to meet us at 4 o'clock. And then we're going to load up that stable and put it away. So thank you so much for your help. Amen. The title of the message this morning is unusual because I have an unusual message today, a message the Lord really laid on my heart and I've kind of struggled with. But I believe it's what the Lord wants to say to us today. I believe it's his message for the hour. The message is titled, The Great Train Robbery. The Great Train Robbery. So look with me at Isaiah chapter 6. It was in the year that King Uzziah died, and I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I'm doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?" I said, "Here I am. Send me." Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to touch hearts today. Touch your church. Touch this church right here in this moment. Touch those watching by the internet this morning. I pray that you would just minister to us, that you would show us, Lord, the way in which we are to live and to walk and to move forward in this hour in which we live. We give you praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1903, a silent movie was released called The Great Train Robbery, along with two or three remakes in later years. However, we're not going to talk about some Hollywood movie today. We have more serious concerns to look at as believers in this world that so desperately needs Jesus. Amen. There's 3 points to the message this morning, the verses we just read. First of all, the train revealed. The train revealed. Isaiah has a vision which leads to the cleansing of his sin, as we read, and the call to be a prophet of the Lord, the call to be the Lord's messenger. I want to tell you, each one of us have that call to be the Lord's messenger in this generation. Amen. In this vision, Isaiah sees the Lord. He sees him high and lifted up on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. That's one huge train. Most of us are familiar with the train of a robe. It's the back portion of a robe that in many cases hangs down and sweeps across the floor, symbolizing majesty and honor and splendor and glory and authority. On June the 3rd, 1953, Queen Elizabeth II was inaugurated amid much fanfare and pomp. She slowly walked down the aisle of Westminster Abbey. Behind her trailed a robe of royal purple velvet with an 18-foot-long train. 6 maids of honor supported the weight of this magnificent train. When Princess Diana married the Prince of Wales on July 29th, 1981, in St. Paul's Cathedral, her wedding dress had a royal train that was 25 feet long. In Isaiah's day, kings wore elaborate robes to signify their majesty and their authority and their power. The longer the train, the more powerful the king. Why is that? Because in those days, after a king defeated an army in battle, he would cut off a portion of the defeated king's robe and he would have it sewn onto his robe, onto his train. You might remember the story in the Old Testament of David and Saul. David caught Saul there in the cave, and David went up and cut off a piece of his robe. That was customary to signify defeat, and he was going to put it to his robe, although the Lord convicted him not to touch his anointed, and he repented of doing that. But that was a custom in their day, and so a long train on the king's robe would signify many, many victories and much authority. Well, the length of the robe that Isaiah saw in his vision in Isaiah 6 was not 18 feet. It wasn't 25 feet. But it was so long that it filled the entire temple. The Lord has won victory after victory. Amen? He's won many, 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 many victories. He is mighty. He is powerful. He is great. He is full of majesty and glory and power and strength. So glorious that there's nothing that's impossible to our King. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4 quotes a psalm of David, Psalm 68:18, that illustrates the greatness of his glory in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Says, however, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the height, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. He led captives in his train. The Lord is mighty. The Lord is awesome. The Lord is glorious. He led a crowd of captives in his train and gave out gifts to his people because he conquered Satan and he crushed his plan to stop God's redemption purposes. In fact, the longer his train, the more robe there is to cover us up with. Everything we bring to God is covered by his victorious robe. Every problem, every struggle, every fear, every weakness we bring to him is defeated by the blood of Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. His blood sets us free. God's robe and his train signifies the defeat of the enemy. Look with me at Revelation chapter 19. We see a future picture of Jesus and the robe and the train and the victory that he's going to win. This is something that hasn't happened yet. It will happen in due time and in the Lord's time. And it says in Revelation 19 and verse 11, then I saw heaven opened and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe, at his thigh, was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Can you say amen? All through the Bible, we read of the greatness and the glory and the majesty and the authority of God. He reveals his train, his glory, power, majesty, strength, and authority. From Genesis to Revelation, we read of God's glory. From creation, from the parting of the sea in Exodus when they walked through on dry ground, all the way to the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament, there were times when the Lord even made the sun stand still for an entire day in order to let a king finish a battle. I want to tell you, God did mighty, wonderful, and mighty and miraculous things, showing his glory all through the Bible record, right up through today. The greatest event, the most glorious, the most wonderful victory he secured was when he died on the cross, and 3 days later he rose again from the dead to buy and purchase men for God and women for God and to know the salvation that we enjoy today. Can you say amen? One day we will see the complete victory of Christ over all the enemies. The recipients are us as Christian believers, all the victories that we receive because of Christ and his shed blood. The Bible says in Romans 8:37, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory. Everybody say overwhelming victory. Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. The King James Version says it like this, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So that is the train. That is the glory, the honor, the majesty. That is the train revealed. But now let's look at something we don't like to think about. Sometimes in discussions, we might call this the elephant in the room. Have you ever heard that term? You know, it's the thing that we all see, but nobody wants to talk about. They sometimes call that the elephant in the room. And that's my second point, the train robbed. You say, what? What are you talking about, the train robbed? God's glory, God's power, God's strength, his honor and authority and majesty, has it been taken? He's still all these things. He does not change, just like the Bible says in Malachi 3:6. He does not change. In Hebrews 13:8, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what are you talking about? The train has been robbed. That's exactly right. The Lord has all of those things. The Lord does not change. His train of glory, power, strength, and authority is still intact. However, the display and the realization of his glory, authority, and power has been shifted to his body, the church. The Bible tells us to go in his name, does it not? The Bible tells us to pray in his name, does it not? The Bible says act in his name and under his authority. In fact, it says in John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you, said Jesus. In Matthew chapter 28, you know those verses where Jesus came to his disciples. He said, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age. And then we read in Mark where it says, these miraculous signs will accompany those who what? Those who believe. It's very evident that it is the will of God that none be lost and all come to repentance, is it not? The Bible is clear that God is not willing that any should perish. Whosoever will may come. God's will is that mankind become right with God and be forgiven and spend eternity with Christ in heaven. It is also very evident from Scripture that the Lord's plan is for his body, the church, that's us as believers, to go and act in his name and see his will accomplished, to lay hands on the sick, to pray for those in need, to share the gospel. He won't do it by himself and on his own, even though he could. The Lord could have said, I will do all the preaching in this world. I will do it all. I will preach the gospel. I will send my angels and declare the gospel to lay hands on the sick and preach the good news and go into the world. He could have done that. But you know what? The Lord didn't do it that way. He commissioned his church to go forth. Someone once said, without Christ, we cannot. And without us, he will not. He won't do it without us. We're his hands, we're his feet. Mark 16:20 says, and the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. Or it says in another version, the Lord was working with them. So God uses the church, uses believers to accomplish his will in this world, to see the lost saved. Back to the elephant. Has the church, even this church, been robbed of seeing the glory, the power, and the majesty of God's presence in our midst? If I were honest, I would have to say, yes. I believe somehow, some way, Satan has deceived us into being comfortable and content with less than God's best and seeing signs, wonders, and miracles that should be more evident in our midst. We've kind of adopted this mentality. And when I say we, I'm not necessarily saying everybody, but to an extent the church and even this church. Instead of where it says in Acts 2:37, where it says, "What must I do to be saved?" Many have subconsciously, we would never admit this, subconsciously we've said this, "What can I do and still be saved? What can I do and still be saved? What can I hang on to and keep of my own and my own schedule and my own thinking and my own desire for God and still make it to heaven?" But God says, "I want all of you. I want all of you. I want all your schedule. I want all your time. I want all of you." We've said, "What can I do and still be saved while the world goes to hell?" Ouch. Am I right? Am I painting the elephant right? Instead of seeing how close we can walk to the Lord, we've chosen to settle back and thereby see the train get robbed. Lord, help us. Lord, forgive us. Lord, take us back. Bring back the new again. Revive us, restore us to the joy of our salvation, that we might display the power, the glory, and the authority that we have been given by Christ to display in this world for his good and for their good. We don't want just a form of godliness, do we? That's what it says it's going to be like in the last days. There will be a form of godliness, but they will deny the power. We want a genuine moving of God's power in our lives. I remember hearing the testimony of John Kilpatrick of the church in Pensacola, where revival struck on Father's Day 1995. And in his own words, he said, "We prayed and we fasted and we cried." And he goes, "I laid on the front row of the altar there in the pews in our church week after week after week, begging and crying out for God, 'Lord, move in this place. Show us your glory.' And God responded, and it happened on Father's Day, and it went many, many years. I attended that revival. Some of you probably did too. I've struggled this week to get a hold of this message. I don't want to come across harsh and browbeating, but I want to say that the Lord has put this on my heart, and I, for one, have been robbed long enough. I've been robbed long enough. How about you? I'm praying, Lord, show me your glory again." Moses prayed, Exodus 33:18, "Lord, show me your glory. Show me your presence again." Can we all get an agreement as a church to pray this way? Lord, show us your glory. Show us your power. We've got so many people out there in our world that need the church to be alive and on fire, not dead and having a show. In light of where we are as a nation, we need God's glory, God's train to be in full display, filling our temple. Filling our temple. The temple that he fills today is us. We're temples of the Holy Ghost. Is the glory filling our temple? Now let's go from the train revealed and the train robbed to point three, the train restored. Can we say, "Lord, let the train of your robe fill every part of me. Every part of my temple. Every part of my being. Every moment of my schedule, Lord. Fill me, overflowing. Everything that I am,
That's what happened to Isaiah when he cried out there in Isaiah 6. He saw the vision of the Lord. He saw the power and the glory. And then he said in verse 5, it's all over. I'm doomed. For I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips. I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Oh, church, we need to see the King again. We need to see a vision of the Lord. We need to see a vision of his glory and of his power and his majesty get a hold of us to where we act and have the same response that Isaiah said. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar. It's the altar, from the altar. The altar's where the coal came from. With a pair of tongs, he touched my lips and with it said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed. Your sins are forgiven. Then I heard the Lord asking, well, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for me? And he said, here am I. Send me. Remember, as I've recently said, I heard this in a funeral that I attended a couple of 3 weeks ago. The world at its worst demands the church at its best. The world at its worst. I don't know about you, but this is the worst world I've ever seen in my 59 and a half years. Will you determine with me to be at your best for the Lord? Will you ask the Lord to fill you up until your cup runneth over? He's coming back for a glorious church, the Bible says, without spot or wrinkle. He wants us to be on fire followers, faithfully fulfilling his will. Not lukewarm and looking for the easy way out. I said not lukewarm and looking for the easy way out. Let's see the train of God's glory, power, strength, honor, and authority restored to the place it should be. Amen. In conclusion, look with me at Psalm 51. I would like for us to prayerfully read through David's prayer of repentance found in Psalm 51. You'll notice in the notes above the chapter, it says this was regarding a prayer David prayed regarding after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. We may not have committed adultery in that way, but we may have committed adultery with the world as a church against God by not hungering for his glory, by not seeking his power and authority, by being content with how little we can do and still get to heaven. The contentment. You say, I thought we're supposed to be content as Christians. We are when it comes to the worldly things and the things of this world, we are to be content. But I never believe that the word ever teaches that we're to be content in our relationship with Jesus. We're always supposed to be asking, seeking, hungering, and thirsting. Am I not right? We don't get content spiritually. The more we seek, the more we find. The more we knock, the more the doors open. The more we ask, the more we receive. Jesus said, blessed are those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. He said before, the world will see the tomb was empty when they see the Christians' hearts are full. The contentment has robbed us, but we can be restored and we can be renewed again by repenting just as David did. In Psalm 51, I want to read the entire chapter, and I want us to read it together as a prayer. It should be on the screen. You don't have to read it out loud, but read it along with me in your heart and in your mind and make it your prayer today. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just.
For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Look with favor on Zion and help her. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with sacrifices offered in the right spirit, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will again be sacrificed on your altar. Amen. Father, we come to you now as a church, and we repent. We repent of allowing the glory, the power, the authority, the majesty of our Lord to be robbed from our midst. Lord, you still have it. You haven't changed. But as we look around, we see that something's missing in your church. Somehow we've gotten all the right buildings, and we've got the projectors, and we've got the music, and we've got all the right things, and it looks all good. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But Lord, somehow in our comfortableness, we left the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit out. In all honesty, God, in a lot of places we're looking like we have the form, but we don't have the real fruit of the Holy Spirit, of his abiding presence. Oh, Father God, help us. Help us to have revival in our hearts, in our church, in all the churches, and across this nation, Lord. Don't let us continually be robbed. And it's our own fault, because that's not your will. It's not your will for your church to be powerless. It's not your will for your church to be fruitless, to only have a form. It's your will that the church be on fire. And I want to be a pastor that's on fire. I want our church family to be on fire. Forgive us, Lord, for substituting things of this world for the real, true presence and power of the Lord. Help us not just talk the talk. Help us to walk the walk. Forgive us, Lord. And Lord, if there's those here today that don't know you as their Savior, Lord, I really pray for them today, Lord. None of us are perfect. We know we're all just a sinner saved by grace. And so, Lord, I pray that those who may be in sin today and not right with you, that they would experience your grace right now. That they would say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin.
Restore my life. Come into my heart. Wash me, make me clean. And I join with all the Christians here in praying the prayer of repentance along with them, that we might be on fire, that we might be full of your glory, that your train would fill the temple, the train of your glory and authority and power and majesty would fill our hearts and our lives and our church buildings. We thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just open these altars right now. This isn't on the schedule. The team had another song they were going to sing, but the song that just keeps coming to my heart right now is the one we've been singing the last couple of weeks. Come, Holy Spirit. Don, if you can go to that. I just want us to sing this as we all make our ways to a place of prayer. That God would touch us, that God would visit us, that God would fill us full and overflowing, that the presence of the Lord fill this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Come. Come. What's the note, Don? Key of F. Come, Holy Spirit, fall on me now. Can you put the words up, Kate? I need your anointing, come in your power. I love you, Holy Spirit, you're captivating my soul. All that I grow to love you more. Verse again. You're captivating my soul.
Share my heart today. I know that was a little different sermon. It's what I got. You got what I had. I actually went through about 14 pages of note a lot quicker than I thought, but so be it. I hope you hear my heart.
The Bible says as we ask, we will receive. We seek, we will find. The knock, we will be opened. To do in this hour, in this generation, there's a whole lot of lost people out there. The devil's doing a whole lot of destruction in families. He's trying his hardest against our own families. Jesus wins. Jesus wins. Jesus wins.
But I want to see him win here in victories we're fighting here, families here, situations here. I know he wins in the end, but how many casualties is there going to be along the way because we have failed to buckle down and really get serious? So, Father God, I thank you once again for laying this message on my heart. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us will take into our own heart and our own mind what we should do about it, how we should respond. Lord, it wasn't my message. You woke me up in the middle of the night a few nights ago with this message. I didn't even know how to write it. But Lord, I believe you're speaking to us because you want your church to come alive and be filled with the power and the authority that we saw 2,000 years ago in the early days. Lord, we want you to do it again. And I know you're moving like crazy in other parts of the world, in Iran and China and other places, and even different places around the U.S. Lord, we want to hear. I want to hear. There's casualties lying around here. There's people that have been hit and beat up that need revived, that need the healing touch of God, that need the restoring power that only you can give. Father God, just pour out your spirit across this place. Pour out your spirit in our hearts.
Father God, I'm reminded of a great minister that said, if we want revival, draw a circle around ourselves and say, Lord, start it here in the circle first. So, Lord, we pray that each one of us would get that circle, that you would say, Lord, revive us, restore us, empower us, fill us with your Spirit, that we might make a difference in this world, in this nation, in this state, and right here in Noble and Norman and Moore and Slaughterville and Purcell, right in this central Oklahoma area. Lord, help us, we pray. Help us. Help us, God. Forgive us, Lord. Just give us a hungry, thirsty heart. It's thirsty hearts that you fill. It's thirsty hearts that you empower. It's thirsty hearts that you work through. Humble people. Not people driven by ego or pride, but it's humble people that you work through. Help us to be a humble follower filled with your Spirit in these last days, we pray. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's all stand, and at closing, let's sing that song one more time and make it your prayer for God to do his work and his will in your life. Come, Holy Spirit, fall on me now. I need your anointing. Come in your power. Oh, I love you, Holy Spirit. You're captivating my soul. And every day I grow to love you more. Sing that one more time. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fall on me now. I need your anointing. Come in your power. I love you, Holy Spirit. You're captivating my soul. And every day I grow to love you. Tonight, 6 o'clock.